In addition to the human pain and suffering caused by the pandemic, there has also been the prolonged economic toll, which continues to this day. And while the state and federal government have taken steps to shield New Yorkers from some of the financial pain, these efforts have done little to ease the burden of medical debt owed to New York's private hospitals. To discuss this debt and future changes to the payment of medical bills being considered by state lawmakers, we spoke Tuesday afternoon to Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society of New York, which broadly works to serve low-income New Yorkers, and published a report this spring on structural inequalities in New York's healthcare system. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So how does someone end up accumulating thousands of dollars in medical debt? Is it just as simple as an extended hospital visit or some life-saving treatment that isn't fully covered by insurance?
Yes, all of the above. I think the thing that's most interesting about our report is we researched every single hospital in New York State to find out if they were suing patients for medical debt, and we found that a good number were. But what was interesting is that some hospitals are more aggressively suing folks than others. But the amount in controversy is often just the average was $1,900. Which is essentially means that most hospitals are suing people for their deductibles. So what happens is someone ends up in the hospital, they have an emergency, they may have, a $2,000 deductible, and then the hospital ends up suing them. The insurance pays for most of their care, but that first couple thousand just is a deductible or a copay or whatnot. And that we see that happen over and over again. The other thing we see is that for people who are uninsured, the hospitals in New York State are required to offer hospital financial assistance. And very often, as we're going through these pleadings, we see that no offer has been made.
Have hospitals approached medical debt differently based on who owes them money? I mean, we talk about the lawsuits. Do they send lawsuits after everyone, or do they go with like the payment plan model for some people and other people they don't seem to extend that to?
We honestly don't know what's going on. And I think you've seen one hospital's collection department. You've seen one hospital's collection department. What we were analyzing was really who was being sued by hospitals. And I think the reason why we were interested in that is that all of New York's hospitals, by law, are charities and are nonprofits. And the other thing that happens in New York that's extremely unusual and doesn't happen anywhere else in the country is that every single hospital in New York State essentially pulls down from a $1.2 billion state indigent care pool fund. So all of these hospitals are getting, you know, tens of millions of dollars in many cases of funds to offset their losses, their what they call as uncompensated care losses. And as a contingency for getting these funds, they're supposed to be offering people financial assistance. But what we've seen in the last couple of years through our patient consumer assistance line called Community Health Advocates is we've noticed this incredible uptick, you know, like a 250% increase in these sort of collection cases. And we really hadn't seen a pattern of that in the past. But it appears to be that many hospitals are getting much, much more aggressive about suing people for their unpaid bills.
How has the pandemic affected the way hospitals approach the collection of these bills?
Well, I think that was the thing that was most disturbing. Our report actually came out the day New York City closed down, so our timing wasn't the best in terms of getting attention. But one of the things we were thinking is, oh, great, the courts will close down, so maybe the hospitals will stop this very aggressive litigation practices. But in fact, what we saw is that the moment the courts reopened, the hospitals continued to sue.
And are you anticipating just a big backlog of suits to emerge once we escape the
public
health crisis?
We don't know exactly what will happen. You know, there is this CARES Act money. I think we helped one woman that was profiled in the New York Times who went to Mount Sinai, and she was sort of switching between, she was actually being promoted at her workplace, but she was going from sort of, I think, one level of health insurance to a different health insurance. She went from like union to manager or something. And as a result, Mount Sinai sent her a bill for $400,000. She was, you know, in the ICU with COVID. And that bill, the CARES Act money paid for most of it, but she was still stuck with $75,000, according to the bill, which was more than her annual income. So we actually swung into action and were able to get the insurance piece of that sorted out. So she didn't even owe the $75,000. But that's the kind of, you know, it's pretty terrifying for patients to get these bills, especially for COVID, because it can be so expensive.
The state has implemented a pause on debts that it controls during this crisis, including student and medical debt. Any idea the extent of New Yorkers that benefit actually from having debts accumulated at the five state hospitals and the five state veterans home paused?
I'm really glad you asked that, because one of the things we noticed, so for example, one of the hospitals we were looking at in the Syracuse region, which actually has the most litigious hospital that we identified, Krause, is a Northwell affiliate and has sued 5,500 people. But when we looked at SUNY Downstate, we could barely find just like a handful of cases against patients. It doesn't seem to be something that the big SUNY hospitals are engaged in. It's not a practice that they seem to really take advantage of. This is really seems to be our private nonprofit hospitals that are the most aggressive in suing their patients.
And this suspension by the state with regards to the debt it owns is something that they've taken on as kind of like an emergency power during the pandemic. Are there other powers, especially regarding debt, that Governor Andrew Cuomo or State Attorney General Letitia James could exercise that you would like to see them, you know, do during this pandemic?
Well, we had hoped that they would also call for a medical debt moratorium across the board. Attorney General James only did it for, as you noted, the hospitals that they, you know, would be plaintiffs for, since they represent the state hospitals. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen any action from either the governor or Attorney General James on calling a moratorium on that. And we had actually hoped that that since many of these private and voluntary hospitals are pulling down quite literally billions of dollars in CARES Act funding, that they would, you know, spontaneously stop suing folks. But in fact, we've seen that they've been, you know, all systems normal, continue to sue patients.
We're discussing medical debt in New York, and our guest is Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society of New York. So more broadly then, how should hospitals approach the collection of medical debt when they have patients who owe them, say, thousands of dollars, and they potentially need that money, you know, to maintain their operations?
Well, you know, that's such a good question. We thought, oh, wow, you know, when we sat down, for example, with New York Presbyterian, which is, you know, our state's richest hospital, and in fact, one of the richest hospitals in the country, and we said, look, when we analyze the 1,000 cases of patients that you're suing, we noticed that the average amount in controversy is only, you know, less than a couple thousand dollars. And it doesn't seem that every patient has been offered hospital financial assistance. And in fact, when we call the patient advocate line in your hospital, they don't seem to know what the hospital financial assistance policy is or where one would get that form. Which is why we're really calling for a total reform in how medical debt collection is done in New York State. One of the problems, and I think the biggest problems from the patient's perspective, is if you're admitted to a hospital, you will come out with 27 different bills. You'll get a hospital bill, you'll get a pharmacy bill, you'll get an anesthesiologist bill, you'll get a surgeon bill. We had one patient that went in for kidney stones, and he came out with 20 different bills from 27 different entities at his hospital. That's insane. So one of the things we have been proposing along with Assemblymember Gottfried and Senator Rivera is we need to reform the medical debt collection practices in New York State. And the first, you know, part of that bill is to say one visit, one bill. You have one hospitalization. The hospital is the, you know, is the MC, if you have a three-winged circus, if you will. And they should be controlling all the billing that comes out so that the patient has a fighting chance to work it out between the hospital and their insurance company. What happens instead is the patients are plowed over by paper and don't really understand what they owe. And then come to pass, in the olden days, the hospitals had up to 6 years to sue people. And so some of these collection cases are very old and patients don't even still have the same insurance company and they can't figure out what happened. Good news is in last year's budget bill, we were able to work closely with the Cuomo administration and the Senate and the Assembly and got the statute of limitations or how long a hospital has to sue you changed from 6 years to 3 years. So that's a first major improvement. But we have a whole bunch of other improvements we'd like to see, like this one visit, one bill.
What else would the Patient Medical Debt Protection Act in New York accomplish if it became law?
The other things it would do is a lot of people, when the hospitals sue you, they're, even though the hospitals are nonprofits and benefit from getting nonprofit lending rates from the dormitory authority and whatnot, like they get, you know, really inexpensive, good, terms. And most people in America, even a 30-year mortgage is, 3% interest. The hospitals are suing their patients for 9% interest. So they're allowed to pursue patients at a commercial interest rate, even though they, in fact, are nonprofits. So we'd really like to see the governor's proposal of using just the federal funds rate. Well, whatever the government treasury rate is, which is around 1%, that the hospital shouldn't be able to charge more than that. And I have to say, to be fair, many hospitals do not charge interest. It's, in fact, just some of the richest hospitals that are pursuing people for this 9% interest that they're allowed to under the statute. And that's what we'd like to see change. Another thing that the hospitals are able to do is they charge this thing called facility fees, and patients don't know what these are, and often insurance companies don't pay for it. But basically, there is no procedure called facility fee. It's not, it's not like a mammogram. It's not like an X-ray. It's not like a surgery. Facility fee is just a fee that they tack on that just is an operating charge. Like just we're hospitals. We should be paid a facility fee for nothing, really. I mean, there is no medical service called facility fee. And so we had a woman go in to her her primary care doctor who was taken over by the Mount Sinai and affiliated with Mount Sinai. And the doctor said, oh, go get your mammogram right there at Mount Sinai. So she got her free preventive mammogram, which is, as everyone knows, is free under the Affordable Care Act. But Mount Sinai charged her, $150 facility fee just for showing up and being, basically unwitting enough to go to a radiologist that was affiliated with Mount Sinai. We think those fees should go away. That's just nonsense fees. Another thing is a lot of us, when we go to the doctors and the hospitals, we're required to sign this assumption of liability, financial liability form. And basically, as one patient put it, it's essentially a blank check where the patient is asked to assume all liability for whatever the hospital isn't able to negotiate with the insurance company. You're stuck and you are agreeing that you're on the bill, on the hook for that. But patients have no idea what their insurance companies will pay or won't pay. Hospitals do. So I call that a contract of adhesion.
We've been speaking with Elizabeth Benjamin. She is the Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society of New York. Elizabeth, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.